want to speak to you about love is the first, it's the greatest, and it's the thing that we need to do with all of our being. And this is given to us by our lovely Lord Jesus in Mark chapter number 12. Mark 12, the greatest thing you can do for God is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind and might. And that's the greatest commandment in all the Bible. It's not thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Those are all important. The greatest commandment in all the Bible is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So follow along in Mark 12, verse 28. And the opposite of that, I'd like to remind you, is an inordinate love for yourself. What we are having promoted across our country, I don't know if it's on all the other countries of the world, because I've not visited all the other countries of the world. I've been in Mexico and I've been in Canada. But the greatest thing you can do is love God, not to love yourself. Self-esteem is self-love. And we all need a little bit of that, but we sure don't need what we're being promoted to have. But you can't have too much love for God. You can't have too much love for your neighbor, as long as it's the love that's spoken of in the Scriptures. So look with me then at 12. Mark 12, verse 28. As one of these men came to Jesus, the scribe came to Jesus, and I'd like you to take note of the answer that he gives to the question of the scribe. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all thy heart, and with all thy understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, how say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And David therefore himself calleth him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and in the upper rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the wonderful Word of God. We pray Thy blessing upon it this morning hour. Have Thine own way, Lord, in our hearts and lives. May Jesus Christ be praised. May Jesus Christ, because of this sermon, be better and greater love given to Him. May, dear Lord, we love ourselves less. There is that natural love, that ordinary love that we should have for ourselves. But our Father, take away that inordinate love for ourselves and give us, dear Lord, a supernatural and glorious and marvelous love for Thee and for others. May we set ourselves last, our Father, and put others ahead of ourselves. It says, esteeming others better than ourselves. So teach us, dear Lord, to love Thee. Thou hast commanded us to love Thee. It's not a prerogative. So, Lord, may we love Thee more because of visiting these Scriptures this morning. These words of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, even our lovely Lord Jesus Christ, may we obey Him as He gives again the commandments of God that were already in the Old Testament before He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger. Dear Lord, may we give these truths forth, our Father, to others in our day. For this is the greatest commandment in all the Bible. And the second is the second greatest. And so may we take heed to Thy word. And may we not be as these scribes that we read about later in the reading, and they had a love for themselves that was not right, instead of a love for Thee and for others. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first of all the commandments, the very first, you know, first things first, is for you. That goes for every boy and girl that I'm looking at here, every man and woman, every teenage boy or girl. The greatest thing you can do in this life is to obey the first commandment. For the first commandment is the greatest commandment in all the Bible. It's the greatest thing you can do for God, is to love Him. But you better love Him the way the Bible says. That's not with half-heartedness. That's not with just your mouth, but it's with your whole being. You're to love God. Did you notice how many different things it says there? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. I mean, not part of your mind, but your whole mind. That means your whole thinking. Your thinking ought to be set on loving God. And so you want to read the things that God would want you to read. You want to see the things that God would want you to see. You need to hear the things that God would want you to hear. Because you love Him best. This means above the love for your wife, fellas. And the Bible says your husbands love your wives. Be not bitter against them. And we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. But there's a love even above your wives, fellas, and that's your love for God. He comes first because that's the first and greatest commandment. Same way with the wife. The older women are to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be keepers at home. That the word of God be not blasphemed. We need to learn to love. So the greatest thing in all the world is not what we do, but we do because of what we love. So our affection has to be right. If it's not right between a husband and wife, there won't be the right action, and the gifts will not be given, whether there's money there or not. You can be the poorest of the poor, and you can still love your wife with all your heart and soul. Treat her right. Amen? The same way goes for the other, husbands or wives. By the way, that's the truth with God, too. You can love God if you don't have a thing. If you don't have a thing to give Him, you can give Him your love. And everything you do because you love the Lord. And then it says, thy neighbor as thyself. Did you notice what it said down there also below that in the answer of the scribe there? By the way, the scribe comes up and asks Jesus this question, and then Jesus says some things. He tells them exactly what's the greatest and the first. And then the scribe, boy, he agrees and said, you've told the truth, Jesus. Look what he says in verse 33. This is interesting. And to love him with all the heart. Isn't it strange that, or different? Every time I think that this is mentioned, it starts out with the heart. To love with all your heart. And then it goes on, soul, strength, and mind, and might. Our whole being. But the heart. I don't know. It's talking about the very heart of the person. We were up there just yesterday in the hospital, and I should say Friday night, and our little granddaughter, she had the top of her finger cut off, and we were talking to these other ladies up there, and they were both having, their husbands both were having heart surgery, and I mentioned to them that, you know, often when you have these bypasses and all, when you start tampering with the heart, that sometimes it changes the person's for a while. I know that one other minister who went, when he was alive in town here, and he had this, and he would find himself crying, and that was not the normal him. You know what I mean? Your emotions. And when we told these two women who were having this happen, either they or someone else mentioned that one person had this heart surgery, and that the person was just like a different person completely for a while, till they came back, very grumpy, and that was not his nature at all. And one of these ladies had worked with this man. That's what it was. And so, you know, I know that's talking about the pump inside of you, but thank God that pushes all the blood all over you, amen, up to your brain and everything. But it's talking about the very heart of man. Do you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then might? Then look at this. And to love Him with all thy heart and with all the understanding. Isn't that interesting? With all your understanding, you're supposed to love God. And with all the soul. Boy, I tell you, we need to love God like we ought to. And then what does the scribe say? He said that it's more important to love God than all whole burnt offerings to God and sacrifices. Let me tell you this. You cannot love God like you ought to love God until you're born again. Till you're saved by His wonderful grace. It doesn't mean you don't love God, but you don't love Him right until you really know Him and get born again by His Holy Spirit. And this is proven to us. This man is saying the right things, this scribe. But look what Jesus says to him. Come on down a little bit further. What does He say to him? Verse 34 says, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, the scribe answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He said, you're not far from, really, I believe he's saying here, knowing God. I believe that this scribe was lost and needed God. I don't think he was talking about, you're not far from dying and going to glory. He said, you're not far. I thank God when I was brought up in the old Methodist church that they taught me that that we should love God and we should love our neighbors ourselves. You know, I've met an awful lot of Methodists who were lost, and then they got saved and got called to preach. And you know, I'm not a Methodist anymore, okay? Hello, I'm an independent, fundamental, sin-hating, Christ-exalting Baptist. But I thank God that I learned a few things, even in the church that did not preach on salvation, and they taught me to love God. They taught me to love my neighbor as myself. And you know, if that is the greatest thing you can ever do for God, that was good that I was taught that. Do you get what I'm talking about? Because that's the greatest thing you can do, is to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. The second greatest thing you can do is love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you're a believer here, and now you've experienced the real love of God, and you know how to love God who has saved you. By the way, we love Him because He first loved us. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus laid down his life for me. He died for me. And so the greatest thing I can do is to love God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, and understanding, and soul, with every bit of my being. Let me ask you the question this morning. If you are born again, if you are saved, like I am, I'm saved. I'm as saved as I'll ever be. As soon as you get saved, you're as saved as you'll ever be. You're as ready for heaven as you'll ever be, in my opinion, right then, at that moment. Because the sin that would damn your soul and send you to hell is gone. And you are clean as clean can be. And the Christ of Calvary, the one, the holiest of all, comes and takes up His residence in your body, and your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost. So as you go around and people are not saved, their body is not the temple of the Holy Ghost. Did you get that? Lost people, unconverted people. I'll tell you the truth, the devil's living in them. I mean, the Bible says that. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do, Jesus said when He talked to the people. So before you're a child of God, you're a child of the devil. And you're going to hellfire, the home of the devil. But now we've been redeemed. And we may be trying to love God before we get saved, but now we are saved, and now we really can love Him like we ought to. We can really love His Bible, His Word, like we ought to. We can really love other people like we ought to. We were trying maybe before because we were taught to love God. By the way, I was thinking so much of the Muslims. Are they not a pitiful lot? Are they not a sorry crowd? I drove by this morning early. We were coming here to pray, and there were as many cars there as there were here. They were all praying to a God who is no God at all. They were praying to Allah, and He's not God at all. They were talking, I don't know, or they were worshiping or whatever, His prophet Muhammad. Right up there, right there. No, don't you go up there, amen? I'll pray God will do something to you, go up there, amen? You better come here, amen? Where the truth is preached, where Christ is the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen? No man will get to God the Father through Muhammad. Nobody will get there through some false God called Allah. Amen? They will not get there. They're praying to a God. But you know what? I thought about this. They don't even have love in their language. A dear brother, John Salama, told me. In their language, when they talk, they don't even say, I love you, to your wife or to their children or to their friend, because it's not in their everyday language. Kindness is not in their language. Forgiveness is not in their language. Sad, isn't it? Kindness, love, mercy. Mercy's not in their language. They don't know anything about it. You think they know anything about hate? Oh, ho, ho, ho. Huh? And then I said, I said to John Salama, right there, right sitting right behind my wife in the hall out there, vestibule. And I said, John, what about joy? He said, oh, that's in their language. Joy is when they're going to their 70 virgins, you know, and all this other junk up there. And then it's when they're killing an infidel like you and me. That's supposed to bring them joy. You know what I thought about that?
I thought about, what do they need? They need the love of God. What does the Bible say? God is love. So as I was thinking about that, I said, thank you, Lord, for my mom and dad taking me to the Methodist church. They were trying to do the best they could, and I heard that God is love. That I ought to love God. I ought to love my neighbor. Amen? Now, they should have preached on hellfire and brimstone too. Amen? They should have preached on personal sins, which we do around here. And which John Wesley did too, the founder of the Methodist Church. And Charles, his brother. Mm-hmm. But I think this scribe was very much like Susanna Wesley. And she didn't get saved until a couple years before she died, and yet she trained those boys, John and Charles, up in the ways of the Lord, but then she didn't know the Lord until a couple years before she died. And you know why? Because knowing Christ personally was not emphasized in the Church of England. But we emphasize it around this Baptist church. Amen? Knowing Christ for myself, knowing I'm going to heaven, knowing this God that I love. You know, as a Methodist, I really remember this as a young boy growing up. I got saved at 16, so I'm talking about the years before being 16 years old. And I prayed because I was taught to pray. And I prayed to a God, and I knew He was up there. My mom and daddy told me, and the preachers all said God was up there, and God was alive, and He could hear. And I prayed, but it was like I was praying to a brass, just a metal nothing. You know what I mean? My prayers weren't going anywhere. And oh, when I got saved, oh, it was like all heaven opened up. And I knew the one I was talking to. I knew the one I was praying to. And He knew me in a personal way. A real way. At that very same Methodist church, I came down to the altar at the age of 13. 3 years before I got saved, and they said, Jack, will you or do you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I said, I will or I do, whatever they asked me. And they gave me the right words, but they didn't explain the words. And then they made me a member of the Methodist Church, and I was still lost, and I didn't have the love of God. But praise God, when I got 16 years old at Central New York Baptist Camp, I got saved. I got understanding, and I started loving God with all my understanding. Started loving God with all my soul and my whole heart, my whole being, and anything that got in the way of my love for God, I wanted it out of the way. I didn't care what it was. Any sin, I wanted all sin out of my life. That's the way we all ought to be. From the day we get saved until the day we go up in the resurrection if He comes back for us before we die, or if we get planted in the ground. Praise God, you plant me, I'm coming out. Amen. Christ liveth in me. Amen. He lives in me right now. And as soon as I die, my soul is going to leave and go with Jesus. My body will come along later if I die. Amen? This corruptible must put on incorruption. But I know how to love God now. I don't think a sinner, even though he might know that he should love God like this scribe or like Susanna Wesley, she knew she should love God. She heard it all her life. Charles and John knew it as well. But oh, John had to have his heart strangely warmed at Aldersgate. He was already a missionary to the Indians in Georgia with his brother Charles. They came all the way across from England, all the way across to Georgia in this country, the Atlantic, to reach the Indians. And on the way over, a person came to John and said, John, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? He said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of the whole world. He said, that's not what I asked you, John. Have you received Him as your very own personal Savior? He didn't have the answer. And not too long after that, after his trying to reach the Indians, he went back to England and he said, oh God, I tried to come and save the Indians, but oh God, will you save me? Who's going to save me?
in the Lord's work, but still not saved. The scribe was in the Lord's work, but he didn't know the Christ of the one he was even talking to. He just realized he gave good answers. Well, he's not just the good one who gives good answers. He's goodness itself, and he is the answer. Christ is the answer. So, first of all, if you're not saved this morning, determine you cannot love God like you ought to and like even maybe like you want to until you know him. And then you'll be able to love him. By the way, the song or something says, to know him is to love him. Whew. That's true. To know him is to love him. For God is love, and Christ is God in the flesh. More than all the burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Now look at what we won't take long with this, Lord willing, at all, but look down here with me, verse 38. Here's another account with the different scribes, and Jesus said, and he said unto them in his doctrine or his teaching, beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing. Scribes, these men that wanted to go around in long clothing. And love salutations in the marketplace. They love for people to come and say, hi, Rabbi. Howdy, Father. In the Bible it says, call no man father. We're not to call somebody father. Unless he's your real father, your earthly father, but it's talking about in a religious sense, calling any man father. You're not supposed to do that. Then it speaks even about rabbi. But they liked the salutations and they liked the long clothing so everybody could know how holy they were supposed to be. No, we're not to love the praise of men. We're not to love people to give us the proper salutations when we meet them. We're just to love God. And if they mistreat us, I mean, if they don't mistreat us, thank God for it. And if they do mistreat us, we just get mistreated for Jesus' sake. Look at what it says about the chief seats. And they love, in verse 39, the chief seats in the synagogues. They like the high seats where everybody can look at them. Oh, they're better than everyone else. And the uppermost rooms. And look what else they do, though. They love these things. They love pride. They love prestigious things. They love to be well spoken of. It says, woe be unto you when all men speak well of you. I'm saying to you, if you're a good Christian, you ought to have some enemies. Hello? If you're a real out-and-out Christian, you ought to have some enemies. You say, I like everybody to love me. Listen, I always liked to be liked by everybody. Before I got saved, I just enjoyed. I liked everybody. I did. And I like to be liked, but I love my Jesus more than I love other people. Amen? He's my first love. And then what? I love others because Christ's love wants to flow through me to other people. But the Lord's first. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, the Bible says. They like to be well spoken of. And then look what it says in verse 40, which devour widows' houses. Here these scribes were wanting to be praised by men, and here they're devouring widows' houses. Widows, ones that lived and they had a husband and then they lost their husband and they're good prey for people to come in and take everything they have. That's wickedness. We're supposed to take care of pure religion and undefiled before God is to care for the widows and the orphans, the fatherless and the widows. That's the job of the church. Tells us that right in Acts chapter 6. We're to care for the widows. And for a pretense, make long prayers. It's not saying something wrong with a long prayer, but they're doing it for a pretense. That they're extra spiritual. They pray such long prayers. These are the scribes. It's not saying that the one that was mentioned in the previous account who was not far from the kingdom of God, that he was the same ilk as these other, the same way as these other scribes were. These are two different accounts here. But I felt like that they, it shows our love for God and for others compared to our love for ourselves and devouring widows' houses, making long prayers, having long clothing, and wanting the beautiful salutations and the upper seats and for everybody to be down below us. These shall receive greater damnation. Well, do you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? You say, I'm not saved yet. Well, then the best thing to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Then you know how to love properly. Then if you are saved, you better thank the Lord that love itself came and just took up residence in you. Amen? We're godly because God lives in us. That's the only reason we're really godly, is God lives in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, how can you show your love for God? Well, read His Word, pray, go to His house, give your offerings to God. Pray often, pray much, study the Bible. And then how else can you show your love for God? Love other people, because it's the second greatest commandment. As you love someone else, see, if they're saved. Now, if you love someone else who's your brother in Christ, you ought to be able to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, because Christ lives in them. And there's an amen, you see, there's that amen to your life is in the believer, whether it be a female or a male, amen? Christ liveth in you. So there's that amen back and forth. You understand what I mean? So surely you ought to be able to love your brother and sister in Christ. Now sometimes they become pretty unlovely. Amen? But we're still supposed to love our brothers and sisters because Christ lives in them. And by the way, you're to love them in a special way. Do good to all men, but especially to those of the household of faith. Those that are born again, those that are brothers and sisters in Christ. You should love your brothers and sisters in Christ even more than you do the worldlings and those that are devilish and children of the devil out there. You ought to love God's people even more. But you ought to love them too. You ought to love the worldly and those that are without God too. Because why? Christ loves them. Jesus said, he was over Jerusalem, he looked over the city, and he said they were as sheep having no shepherd, and he wept over the city of Jerusalem. Are we weeping over Killeen? Are we weeping over Fort Hood? Are we weeping over sinful people? There is a sheep having no shepherd? Well, we have the great shepherd. We have the good shepherd. His name is Jesus. So let's just take the good shepherd to them. Amen. Here we go. We go over there, knock on their door or their barracks door or something and say, I'd like you to introduce you to my great, glorious, good shepherd. His name is Jesus. He'll take your sins away. Then he'll be your shepherd too. And all you do is just follow the sheep. Shepherd, I mean, follow the shepherd. You're just the sheep. Well, we have a lot of people they're trying to act like a Christian and they're not one yet. Now, still do it. Amen? Encourage people to act like Christians until they become Christians. Then they'll have less trouble with a lot of the worldly things that they gathered up on the way to their salvation experience. Are you with me? Hello? See, when I got saved, I didn't have to worry about cigarettes because I didn't smoke. Was I mighty happy? Because when my brother got saved, he did smoke. And he's had a battle with that thing ever since. I'm so glad I never learned how to smoke. Don't ever have to give it up. Don't even ever have to, you know, bubble gum, anything. Hey, man, special pills or nothing. I never smoked. Don't want to smoke. I hate the smell of it. And alcohol is just about as terrible. Oh. I remember when I used to go with my father and he'd deliver milk to the bars down, Dubois, the bars down in the center of the city of Buffalo. And then he went to the other businesses, and then he went to the houses, the homes. Oh, we'd go into that Dubois in the morning to deliver milk. a bar. Oh, it was the stinkiest place you've ever seen. Oh, it was awful. I was, you know, I'm 14, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 in there somewhere. Oh, I said, man alive. That's the stinkiest place I've been in. Mm-hmm. Alcohol will make you stink, sure enough. Amen. If not that, the whatever takes place that causes other things. Amen. From the hangover and what have you. Amen. What a mess. I'm glad I never had to give all that up. There were other things I had to give up, though. And the Lord took them away from me. Took my desire for those things that didn't please God away from me. But I loved him. If your love for the Lord is like it ought to be, he'll take these things that are problems away from you. And if you don't love him like you ought to after he saved you, he'll spank you because he loves you. He'll spiritually. You know, I wouldn't think that the Lord normally, unless we're really rebellious children, he might let us run an automobile up a tree or something. But the Lord loves us. He wants to bring us back without killing us, of course. Amen? He didn't save us to kill us. He saved us so we would glorify him. But if we won't listen and we're going to just keep glorifying ourselves, he's going to spiritually spank us. He's going to say, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we'll do what pleases him.